Is that working? I'd just like to commend you for your job. You did a very thorough job, and I appreciate it. You came a long way to this study, and I appreciate that. And it's people like you that make this study worthwhile. And I want to thank you for your effort.
Thanks, Roger. Could you develop the concept of the physical river following them or being next to them? Anything, I mean, I've never read that before, and it sounds logical to me, but it's just incredibly interesting to me. I mean, I've always thought about the food, the manna, quail, but the water source being a river that was constantly with them.
Well, I just quoted or mentioned Psalms 105, I think it was verse 41, but there's some other places where that's talked about as well, and that's kind of a, and I don't have them written down right now, that is kind of an amazing thing, but it only makes sense. God, and in the whole typology thing, God didn't give them a barrel or a pool or a pond. He gave them a river. And for a number of years, as they traveled through the wilderness, they would have water from that river wherever they traveled. Why that ended, I don't know, but it did end. One writer said that the river would naturally follow the low ground and would end up in the sea, while they needed to turn north and be able to come into the land of Canaan. There's some natural things about that too. The bread, the manna, would decay. So the river, so there's some natural things about that bread. There's some natural things about the river. It would follow the low-lying ground. And as long as they were in that, and if you read some of the maps anyway, the travels of the Israelites, it's just zigzagging around in there. And they would be near that river and have water.
Even though Moses sinned upon that occasion, I don't think that barred him from being in heaven. It barred him from going into the land of Canaan. Under the old law, they still had the ability to offer sacrifices for their sins and get forgiveness, which I believe Moses did, because you can read it even after that where he was still considered a servant of God, or, you know, but and also was in the Transfiguration. So he was able to go back, I guess, to that living water and to that rock and get forgiveness. And I don't know whether you'd ever considered anything like that or not, but that's what I see in this as well.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's any way we could say that Moses was lost in the end. Clint pointed out to me the Mount of Transfiguration scene, and then there's, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, Moses plays a significant role. It seems that Moses must have been forgiven for that act. And yet there's this typology thing that goes on. In type, they died in the wilderness because of sin. And that becomes a type of what happens, what happens physically to them becomes a type of what happens spiritually. So they did die in the wilderness, and that typology remains. Now, the point Clint made to me was they all died in the wilderness, and that becomes, that's a type of the consequences of sin, and yet that doesn't mean that spiritually all died, because there was the forgiveness because of sacrifice that God had provided. And the point Clint made was, well, not all those that went into the land of promise are going to be in heaven, because a lot of them would not follow through and would sin and be lost. But in the type, the picture, the physical picture, I think that's demonstrated. But in the spiritual picture, then we know we have the forgiveness of sins yet remaining. And those Israelites and others who obeyed God, they could still be saved in spite of sin.
You know, in line with that, Roger, when we think about type, typology, type and antitype, every aspect of that which we draw a type from, every aspect isn't necessarily fulfilled in the antitype. The one that comes to my mind quickly is Melchizedek as a type of Christ. Well, you look at Melchizedek, you take the whole story. Everything doesn't have to fit into that, but the part that the Holy Spirit pulls out. So the aspect, not every part of it, but the aspect has to fit the type and the antitype.
That's a good point.
It's been my understanding that that Moses failed to sanctify God. That means that he didn't give God the due respect that he should, not only in the manner of not following the exact thing that God told him to do, but also Moses tried to take a little bit of credit, if you remember. He said, "Must we fetch water?" As though he had anything to do with the reality of it. I mean, he was just the spokesman, just the mouthpiece. Must we fetch water, you rebels? And I think it was because of the fact that he tried to horn in on the glory that belonged to the Lord that God was also displeased.
That's a good point. I like the word "we." I had to go look it up to make sure it was there, just like you said it, and it's there. That helps me a little bit with Moses and Aaron. Why can he? How come Aaron? We know that Moses and Aaron are sometimes joined at the hip, and what Moses does, Aaron does, and what Aaron does, Moses does. But he says, "We." What?
Are